Brian said he hadn't hit that note since he was 13. but praise God. Anybody thankful for our worship team and all they do? And if I can just start by saying, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but years ago, and not that many years ago, but for a long time, Chad Govro played the guitar. And isn't it kind of his granddaughter who's in the eighth grade each and every week here at 8:30 in the morning to practice and to ensure that she is prepared for the day? That's pretty neat to see a great granddaughter. And just to see the lineage. Yeah, great granddaughter. Yeah. No. I haven't messed up yet, Bambi. Just give me a couple minutes, all right? I will do it. No, but it is so neat to see his great-granddaughter on the stage. And my daughter, Aubrianna, started piano lessons with my grandma. And she goes each week to learn the piano. And it would be so neat to one day have my daughter or daughters on stage one day and playing music, and we might just be a traveling little group. I don't know. We're pretty good at that. Not really, but I'm just so thankful each and every week to come into here. And I want to continue our thought for the month of habits. So if you can remember all the way back to December 29th of 2019, 2 weeks ago was the last service of the year, and which a sermon I preached, and I kind of encouraged us to prepare ourselves for where God may be taking us next. God, Moses gave a final kind of farewell address, but he did it in a way so the people would be prepared for the new places that God was bringing them into. And if you recall, I mentioned that particular day that God is constantly wanting to move in you and through you, with you. The difference is between some people and others is that some are prepared for that transition and some are not. So a way to kick off the new year, as we do in America, is to set our resolutions, set our goals, set our dreams, and what are we going to accomplish this year that we didn't accomplish last year. And I thought it was fitting that we would start the year with a series around our habits. If you remember last week is when I said, I don't remember the author of the quote, the origin of the quote, but they said that you and I are a result of what we consistently do. That we are a result of what we consistently do. So if you find yourself in a spot today and you're like, I'm not really happy with where I am, I'm not truly satisfied in who I am, you need to do something different. If you're satisfied, then keep doing what you have been doing, because you have been consistently doing something well. If you are unsatisfied, then you have been consistently doing something poorly, or many things poorly, to put you into the position. I did not wake up one day and wonder why my belt loops change and my size change. It was a daily habit of soda intake and food overeat. Like, it didn't just happen. You don't just wake up and all of a sudden you have financial stability. I mean, it is disciplining yourself over a period of time to position yourself in where you are. You don't just wake up one day and celebrate 50 years of marriage and everything is flowers and sunshine. No. It is daily discipline of just doing what your wife says and how she says it. All right, just do it. And many things that you do over time. So going along with that, where you are today is what you have done to this point. But I would also want to get into a conversation today, which you're going to be one of two parties in this. You're going to be the party in the middle or the party on the outside. And I want to title this second part of our habit series as Check Your Surroundings. Check Your Surroundings. And the reason I want to is, if we can put it on the screen, it's in Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. This is what the author of Hebrews, most people consider it to be the Apostle Paul. Since he did not pin his name to it, I will not tell you for certain, but there is a very high probability that it was the Apostle Paul writing to a bunch of Christian folks that used to be Jewish of heritage and tradition that have now decided to follow Jesus as Savior. And he wrote in this, the author wrote in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, and they read this: "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." But I like how he writes in here, let us consider how to stir up, but also not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some. What he is writing about is not just coming to church on a weekly basis, which is important. And of course, I'm going to take my vacations and my time off, and so are you. And you're going to commit when you can and when you're healthy and when everyone's ready on time, you're going to be here. And that's one way of interpreting this. But there's also another way, which is why we implemented life groups, which is why we find it incredibly important for you to surround yourself in a biblical community of fellow believers, and why it's important not to neglect meeting with them. And this is something I posted on Facebook, and it's an original thought to me. If you Google it, you'll probably find somewhere someone said something along the lines. But I truly believe that if you were to look around you at the people that you call your inner folks, your inner circle, your closest of close, if you look at those people, I'm promising you that they will be a picture to you of the kind of person that you will become. So the type of people you surround yourself with will be the type of person you end up becoming. Because not only are we a result of what we consistently do, but we're also kind of a result of what we are constantly around. So if you wonder why you're always bitter, look at the bitter people around you. It may help you to call someone a little happier. It may help you to text someone a little happier. It may be okay to put a smile on your face and to look up videos that'll make you laugh. And it's okay if you surround yourself with people that are generous to be generous, because what'll happen is their influence on you will eventually lead you to be that kind of person. If you're wondering why you're so selfish and people tell you why you're so selfish and you're always about you, well, if you were to be honest with yourself and to be honest with the people around you, you may just find that the majority of people that you have surrounded yourself with are also selfish. If you find yourself to be very selfless and self-sacrificing, then if you were to look around you, you may just find that the people around you are self-sacrificing and selfless. So not only are we a result of what we constantly do or consistently do, we're also a bit of a result of what we're constantly around. So this year, as we're wanting to push ourselves into new places in our relationship with the Lord, and I'm wanting to be a better husband or father than I've ever dreamed of being, and what I picture when I look at other people in their roles and their ministries, that's what I hope to be and pray to be. But if I don't surround myself with people that are going to push me into that direction, then I'm never going to get there. So a daily habit or a weekly habit, a monthly habit that you need to instill and implement this year would also be not just disciplining yourself in certain ways, but also to check your surroundings and ensure that you are surrounded by people who are going to push you, who are going to stretch you, who are going to encourage you, but also hold you accountable. See, this week, I kind of had a moment. Do you guys ever have those moments? You just have a moment. And I had a moment where I was crying out, woe is me, woe is me. And if I talk to my wife about it, she'll just tell me how it is and I'll be fine. So sometimes I think that I can text other people about it. And I'm telling you that you need to find people like the person I had this week. I was crying out, oh, woe is me. I'm so busy. I'm so tired. My schedule this week was so crazy. I had 3 nights of meetings this week and worked like 50 hours at work, and we had basketball practice, and I'm just crying out, woe is me. Woe is me. I'm so tired. I can't ever get anything accomplished. And someone told me, welcome to life. That's not what I want. That's not why I text you. I wanted you to tell me and assure me that I'm too busy and I got all this. But I needed somebody that would text me and tell me, well, welcome to real life. This is called adulthood and fatherhood. But did you know that 3 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, especially 5 years ago, I would have not responded to that person the same way I did this week. I would have said, I won't be texting you back. I won't be coming to you, because what happens is if we're not careful, we will settle and grow comfortable in people that give us a false sense of assurance and validation, constantly telling us what we want to hear. You know what I wanted to hear in that particular text was, you are the men among men. You can do so much more than I can do. You are so strong, and you need a break, and you need to stop. But I was reminded that I have the strength within me to endure the schedule before me. And I was reminded in that few second conversation. I mean, it was a few minutes early in the morning before work. And first of all, don't ever text me early in the morning. All right, I'm usually not awake and mentally prepared to handle people until about 8 o'clock. So if you want a positive response from me, wait until 8 o'clock or later. If you want a grouchy, short, kind of hateful response, text me early in the morning. All right, I'm just going to be real with you. So I wasn't really mentally prepared for that. And then I just get punched in the face with a text telling me, welcome to real life. Everyone does it. And everyone that's successful and wants to produce something of themselves do it as well. So I left that conversation reminded of, wow, maybe I should thank God and praise the Lord that He views me worthy of carrying the schedule that I do have. Maybe I should thank God. So what I'm trying to tell you is you need to check your surroundings, because the people that tell you what you always want to hear are toxic and are vicious. They will give you a false sense of assurance and validation, but in the scheme of things, they could not care any less about you and your family and your hope and your faith. You need to have people who will step up and kind of stir you up at times, who aren't afraid to step in front of you, not trying to fight you. If they want to fight you, you need to find new friends. But kind of step up to your face a little bit and to hold you accountable and to push you forward. And what I want to do is I want to read something in the book of James here. But I'm telling you, you need to check your surroundings, because here's what I've come to find. And I wrote this down so I wouldn't forget any. I wrote about 4 or 5 different groups of people that we can surround ourselves with. And when we do, we will see that we're most likely to be just like that. If we surround ourselves with good people, we're more than likely to be a decent person. We're going to think before we act. We're going to think before we speak. We might be kind and loving. If we surround ourselves with healthy people, you know, if we're constantly with gym people and healthy people, we're going to be more healthy. We're going to probably be in the gym a little bit more. We're going to be concerned about what we put into our bodies and how we exercise and take care of ourselves. If we surround ourselves with sinful people, we're most likely to live in sin and be a sinful person. If we surround ourselves, however, with godly people, that is the one and only way, other than a relationship with Christ, to become a godly person. You do not become a godly person by surrounding yourself with sinful people. Now, here's the catch. That does not mean you leave here, and if you did not see him at church today, you just hold it up and walk by him. All right, that's not what I'm saying, but what I am saying is your closest of close need to be like-minded. In the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon wrote that 2 are greater than 1, but a 3-string cord cannot be broken. All throughout the scripture, the Apostle Paul writes to different churches and congregations and reminds them to be united in mind and in thought, to be united in their love for Jesus Christ and their willingness and their work for the kingdom, to be united, to be one. He says that we are like a body. Like a body, one body, the body of Christ our Lord. Some of us are hands, some of us are feet, some of us are noses, some of us are rear ends, and some of us are feet and different things. I'm just using different body parts to give you an illustration. I'm not saying anything about you. But I'm just saying there are different body parts. I can't sit down if I don't have the body parts to allow me to sit down. I can't stand up if I don't have the body parts to allow me to stand up. I can't shake your hand or hug you or do things that I want to do if I don't have the body part that allows me to do it, right? I mean, that's what we're doing. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 12 that we are to be one body. But now let's go to James, because I want to look at something in the book of James chapter 5. And then I want to attach this with something that Jesus said. James chapter 5, he's concluding his letter, and he writes these words: "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed." And then if you skip a couple of verses, because then he talks about the prayer of a righteous man accomplished much, and Elijah who prayed for this and prayed for that. And it was so, if you skip on down to the very end, or towards the end, you see this: "My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." So what I'm trying to connect here is the words that Jesus spoke when he talked about two gates. Do you remember when he spoke about two gates? He said there was a wide gate, right? And then he said there was a narrow gate. And he commanded us to enter by the narrow gate. This gate was traveled by few, and it led to life, is what Jesus said. And then he said there's another gate, which is the wide gate that is traveled by many, right? That's what Jesus said, and is leading to destruction. And I can remember preaching that particular passage of scripture, and I used a little stepladder. If you remember, this has been a while. And the stepladder was an illustration of traveling by the narrow gate. Because on most little stepladders that you hold in your house or your garage, the higher you go on the stepladder, the narrower the step becomes. Which is just an illustration of the higher you grow in your relationship with Christ, the closer you get to Him, the less room there is for some people. Because one thing that some people need to do is to know that there are certain places that God's going to call you to that you cannot carry the same people there as you have now. Some people are not good for your faith. Some people are not healthy for your walk with the Lord. So in order to walk into the new places, some people need to understand that we might just have to surround ourselves with new people. We might just have to find a new person or peoples to surround ourselves with. So in order to walk by the narrow gate, it's the representation of living a Christ, you know, Christ-following life, being a Christian, and it's traveled by few. In the world today, there's almost 8 billion people, and they expect or suspect there's probably 2 billion Christians, which is approximately one-fourth, 25% of the world. It's a lot fewer than the other number, if you ask me. So knowing that, Jesus said there's a wide gate that's traveled by many. So let's just be real. Like, if you were to look at your people, actually look at them, but just think to yourself for a second. If you have to close your eyes and visualize those people that you surround yourself with. Because as we commit ourselves to Christ, we also commit ourselves to His church. We cannot be committed to Christ and then ignore or neglect the church. We are committed to Him, therefore we are committed to His body. I am committed to you because I am first committed to Him. So understanding that, now look at the people that you surround yourself with. Who are the people in your inner circle? And if you were to picture them, and if you were to think of them, and if they do not appear to be the body of Christ, then you need to be cautious and check your surroundings. Because the path that is by the wide gate is traveled by many people. Many people. And it leads to destruction. This is what I would tell you. The longer you flirt with destruction, the closer you are to it. The longer you flirt with destruction, the closer you are to it. The longer that you flirt with and live in sinful relationships, the closer you are to destruction of whatever way it comes about. But the longer that we walk by the wide gate, the closer we are to it. So ask yourself, are those people that are your people, are they pushing you forward? Are they holding you accountable? Are they encouraging you in your faith? Because if you go back to James chapter 5, he said, of course, this here, if anyone is wandering and you bring them back, then you save a sinner and save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. But then he also said, just before that, we read, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, I was thinking, it's really important for me to surround myself with people that are going to pray with me and to pray for me. Like, that's what I need. I need people who are going to hold me accountable. I need the people that are going to probably come up to me after service and say, you probably shouldn't say what you said at that part of the service. And I'm going to apologize and say, yeah, you're right. I don't know why I said what I said. And it's happened. And I need those people that are going to be willing and vulnerable enough with me to tell me, hey, you probably shouldn't do this. If you have people that never tell you no, or your inner circle always tells you yes, there may be a problem. Because there are going to be times in your life when you need to hear the word no. And when you need people who are close to you tell you what you're doing is wrong, or it is sin, or it is not to the best of your family, or it is not going to be beneficial in the long run. You need to have people with some wisdom and also with some courage and boldness to be up front and to be real with you. Because when life gets real, you can't live real life with fake people. You need to check your surrounding. So here's the question. If we want to truly live in these words that James said, to confess our sins to one another, let me encourage you with this. It is very difficult, highly unlikely, to ever confess your sins to people that encourage you to live in them. Never will you ever be willing or upfront to confront something or confess your sins to someone that encourages you to stay in it. Never am I going to grow in my faith with people that bring me down. Never am I going to walk by the narrow gate with people around me that are more focused on traveling by the why. So we must check our surroundings. And there was something that Jesus said to Peter one time when Jesus was talking about his death and how he was going to suffer. Peter was like, no, that's not going to happen. And do you remember what Jesus said to him? He said, get behind me. What did he call him? Satan. Get behind me, Satan. And then not long after that, Jesus is cooking breakfast on the beachside for him. So what do you learn from that? You learn that there are going to be times where you have a conversation with someone that you consider real close, and it was real painful. Maybe you said something or they said something that kind of pierced you, but at the same time, they said it out of love, because sometimes love is hard. Sometimes love is painful. Sometimes love is saying no. Or sometimes love is bringing you back from wandering in your sin so that you do not lose yourself completely. Sometimes love is calling out to someone or reminding them of the things that they did have or the opportunities they did miss as they chose to wander. I just want to ask you if you've checked your surroundings. You know, the people around you, are they walking beside you in the narrow gate, or are they the kind of people that are going to drag you through the wide one? Because if you want to build new habits, if you want to grow this year to be the person that God has called you, created you to be, if you want to be that person, that father, that mother, that brother, that sister, that parent, that spouse, that coworker, that friend, if you want to be it, not only do you need to do things consistently, but you need to be around the right people constantly to not neglect meeting as others have done and they've become habit of doing so. I would tell you, you need to find the kind of people, and I needed to hear this a long time ago when I was young, and now that I'm getting old, I've grown with wisdom. Isn't that right, Dale? We grow with wisdom. And I'm growing with wisdom. But I needed to hear this a long time ago. I needed people in my life surrounding me that would hold me accountable and push me to look outside of the church walls as I appeared to be inside the church walls. That's what I needed. I needed people, and I desire people now that are going to ask me how my prayer life is actually going. They're going to ask me if I've been in the Word. They're going to ask me how my marriage is going. They're going to make me, push me forward and hold me accountable so that I look the same out there as I do in here. And if I don't have people around me doing that, then there might just be a problem. One of the things that I learned to do, and if someone were to call me, can someone that has service call me right now? Can you call me? I don't ever get phone calls from people, so I just wanted to use it as an illustration real quick, and then I can pray, and then everybody can go home. Just pray up, he said. Let's go. But one thing that you need to do is maybe there might be some people that keep calling or texting, and there's this feature on the iPhone where you send a message right back. And maybe you need to say, sorry, I can't talk right now. Maybe there are people in your life that you need to respond to in a way that you can't talk right now. Maybe there are people in your life that are bringing you down, and you need to inform them that the way it has been, it can no longer go. The unhealthy, sinful relationship can no longer last. The habits or the hobbies you once found yourself in, you can no longer walk in. I mean, it's up to you, though. I'm just giving you a couple of iPhone XR features that you have on yours as well. I'm just telling you that if you have people that are not appearing to look like the body of Christ around you, it's going to be really difficult for you to operate as the body of Christ that Jesus has called you to be and also redeems you to be. So if you want to build healthy habits this year, and if you want to be that person, if you want to be that man, or if you want to be that woman, you want to be that student, you want to be that coworker, you want to be that parent, you want to be that spouse, not only do you need to discipline yourself daily, but you need to check your surroundings to ensure that when you look at them, you see the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ around you. But again, this doesn't mean you neglect all people, because if it wasn't for you being close to some people, they would never hear the gospel. If it wasn't for those people being close to you, you may have never heard the gospel. So do not go here and just neglect people if they weren't at church by any means. But beware of your surroundings. Do not give too much voice to some people. Do not give too much power to some people. Ensure that you are truly operating in the body of Christ that God has called you to be and redeemed you for. And I found this passage of scripture. I want to read it and then I want to pray. And it's found in 1 Peter chapter 4, and he says, above all, I just want to read it. You don't have to turn there. I just want to read it to you. Because if you're not doing these things, or if you're not operating with people that do these things, then I would encourage you to repent and to ask God to strengthen you, to give you the boldness and the courage to do so. He says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. And then he goes on to say, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. So what that means is, if you're going to love, he says it covers a multitude of sin, but you need to love each other deeply. And what that means for you and your relationships is to be real with the people who are in your life, to check your surroundings and to ensure that those who are your closest of close are there to encourage you, build you up, but also hold you accountable. Because if you want to be held accountable, then you need to do so with people that love you deeply. Because when you get a cut. I had a severe paper cut this week. I'm not joking. Who was joking? I had like to put ointment and bandages on it all week because of the depth. But did you know that it was the depth of the cut that determined how bad it was going to be? So it's the depth of the love that you have for people that will determine how good you are or they are in the scheme of things. So what I want you to know before we leave here is that if you look around you in this place, just take a look, take a gander. You're surrounded by people that will love you deeply. Deeply. They will love you deeply. When it hurts, they're there. When you're broken, they're there. When things are great and couldn't be any better, they're there. Why? Why is that? Because they're first committed to Christ and secondly committed to his church. We are here to surround each other with the love of God and to be the body of Christ. Let's pray together.